Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Out the First for today, February the 20th, 2023. This is a voice-only version of the show, and for reasons that technology has created, I'm going to do a voice-only version of the show today, then a video version of the show later, and they'll be pretty similar, but they won't be exactly the same. So you actually get technically two episodes today of the show if you like to watch it and listen to it. If you're that committed to it, I salute you in many, many ways. But I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you for being with us. We are presented by our friends at French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. We have a lot to talk about. We have a great weekend at Riviera to discuss. And then we've got, finally, the revelation of all things live for 2023, what that looks like, whether that's disappointing. And really, the spoiler there is, it is. And we'll talk about that on the back half of things. But I do want to start with Jon Rahm taking over number one in the world again. We have had three number one players in the official world golf ranking in the last 3 weeks. We had Rory McIlroy leading into Phoenix. Scottie Scheffler won, successfully defended his title, became world number one yet again. And then Jon Rahm wins for the fifth time in nine worldwide starts. I hate that term, worldwide starts, by the way. Just say nine tournaments. His last nine tournaments, Jon Rahm has won five times. And that is incredible. And it culminates in his biggest, best win yet of those five, earning almost 70 official world golf ranking points for winning the Genesis Invitational, a tournament that featured 40 of the top 50 players in the world, and now he is number one again in the world. He is playing historically good golf. I don't mean just great golf, good golf, whatever that moniker. I mean historically great golf. He is triple digits under par in his last nine tournaments. Something like 110 under par, somewhere in the 110s under par, which, hey, unto itself is pretty incredible. But hey, you've got venues like a par 73 in Kapalua Plantation. He played in the Spanish Open, which he lit up against a weaker field. You've got the Jumeirah Golf Estates course in Dubai that's relatively easy. You obviously got the Amex, which is dome golf. So on one hand, you might go, oh, well, that's not so great. But he is gaining an average in 2023 of 3.8 strokes per round on the field. That is ridiculous. That is something like a stroke and a half better than the next player. That is crazy stuff. And having won three times now in seemingly increasingly more difficult fashion, obviously he was the beneficiary of Colin Morikawa falling apart at Kapalua. Had a great challenge from Taylor Montgomery and others at the Amex. And I think that was a bigger win in that he didn't have his best that week and he talked about it. And then he had a couple of weeks there where he could have won. He could have won Torrey, but got off to a bad start on Sunday, just along with Sam Ryder. And Max Homa walked through that door and won for the sixth time on the PGA Tour. He also had a chance to win at Phoenix. And I think that's a tournament he desperately wants, because of his obvious affinity for Arizona and Arizona State University, where he went to school, and didn't get the job done. Wasn't really in the frame a whole lot after the front nine on Sunday, when Scottie Scheffler and Nick Taylor kind of got into their own version of a one-on-one situation. Still had a great week, but just wasn't really a factor after the front nine. And then this week played great, great golf. I mean, he was great from the outset. He was just one off the lead after day one, and then comes along and just follows it up the rest of the way. What, 10 under the rest of the way, 17 under, 267, wins the tournament by two shots over Max Homa. And yes, I know he had a huge benefit from the eagle that went off the grandstand on 17 earlier in the week, but when it mattered, Rahm played great golf. That birdie on 16 was incredible, and then did exactly what he had to do on 17 and 18. To close out a win, get in double digits in PGA Tour wins. Now it's 10 PGA Tour wins. He is clearly the best golfer on the planet. I don't think that's really in any doubt at this point. I don't think it was before this week. Just the ranking hadn't caught up yet. And the reason the ranking hadn't caught up yet is because Rahm's winning streak really started after the change in the official world golf ranking formula. And that meant he was getting less points for his wins, frankly, than he probably should have. Certainly would have under the old system. And now that he has won two of these designated tournaments with stacked fields, and this one being the deepest field of the year so far, he's racked up a lot of points very quickly, just like Scottie Scheffler did last year, going from Phoenix through the Masters, winning all of those tournaments to get to number one of the world. won against great fields. Rom has won some tournaments against fields, and I'd say two of them were and three of them have been good to very good. And certainly this one was very good. And he knows he's playing historic golf. And he talked about it after winning. He said he knows he's on an incredible run, the best run of his career. And this may be as good as it ever gets. It may still get better. I mean, that's the beauty of this. We don't know, right? And Rom's young, still got plenty of upswing left before he even starts thinking about the downswing. I mean, we've got another solid 8 to 10 years of him playing really good golf, barring injury or life changes or something unforeseen. He's starting to set the standard of how good he can really be. And it's really cool to watch someone do that in real time. Same thing is happening with Max Homa. He is figuring out how good he can really be in real time. And I think people get behind Max a little bit more than Rom or other players because he came from so far down where he was truly a stroke or two away from losing his PGA Tour card. And now he's two strokes away from being a 7-time PGA Tour winner. He is one of the best chasers in modern golf. I mean, he's won most of his tournaments from behind. He knows how to track down people in a way that's really entertaining. And he gave Rom a great fight, and he gave a really emotional news conference afterwards saying he wanted to win this tournament again, and he's going to win it again because he wants to win it in front of friends and family. He didn't get to do that when he won a couple of years ago in a playoff against Tony Finau because of the COVID-era restrictions. And so he didn't get to have that moment in the sun with everyone he would have loved to have had it with at that moment. But what I really enjoyed was the 72nd hole where Homa knew he had to do something, didn't hit a good drive, and had a great conversation with his caddy talking about whether he's trying to win the golf tournament or trying to save second place. And frankly, that was a meaningful discussion. I'm sure his caddy knew that if he dropped a shot and fell into a tie with second with Patrick Cantlay, then he would be costing himself $400,000. Does that matter in the grand scheme of things to Max Homa? No, I do not think so. And that's the amazing thing to me, is he knew he wanted to win. And the money was a secondary consideration. I know he's well off, and I know he's doing really well now. But there had to be some element of him thinking back to where he was at one point in his career, and knowing that money could do a lot of good for himself and his family. But ultimately decided, I'm going to try to win this golf tournament. And the chip on 18, the third shot, it never really had any chance of going. It was hot. But then it clanged the stick and rolled over the hole, made it very dramatic and fun. Good atmosphere. And I was really happy for him to make that par putt, especially because of a couple of years ago when he did wind up winning. He had a 3-footer to win the tournament and on that hole and missed and sent him to a playoff. He recovered from that. He'll recover from this. It's really cool to see a guy ascendant in real time. And I think that's the thing I love most about golf, is to see people realize their potential. And we're getting that with Rom. We've seen that with Scheffler last year. We're getting it with Rom in an even a bigger wave maybe so far this year. He has earned almost $10 million in official PGA Tour prize money in calendar, or in the 2022-2023 season, effectively calendar 2023. He has been on an incredible run. He is going to almost certainly shatter the record for the most earnings in a PGA Tour season officially, and he's probably going to shatter that unofficially between the money from the Player Impact Program and likely a very high finish in the FedEx Cup. If he's not going to win, he's going to come awfully close probably, given the way that he's playing golf. And it's just going to be a hand-over-fist money kind of year for John Rahm. But more importantly, I think for him, he has his sights probably set on multiple majors right now. He is a 7-to-1 favorite to win the Masters, which is getting close to Tiger-era odds to win a major championship. How can you not love him? And Max, by the way, in June back in Los Angeles at LA Country Club. And his accuracy off the tee is going to work really well in May at Oak Hill. What is not to like? There's no reason he shouldn't be the favorite, at least in the next two majors, maybe all four this year. And Rory McIlroy's done great things in golf. He hasn't won a major in going on 9 years. Scottie Scheffler is the defending Masters champion. There's no reason to think he can't win more majors. but there is a very clear top three in golf right now. And I think even in that cluster, there is a very clear number one. But strange things happen in majors. Strange things happen in golf. Things get in guys' heads, life changes, all kinds of stuff. So I would take a step back and appreciate this moment for what it is, for what Jon Rahm has accomplished, and then put that into perspective of how much better it has to be to meet like Vijay Singh's best year when he won 9 times, or to meet any of Tiger's incredible years. Just pick a year and think about how good those guys were. Vijay for a couple years, Tiger for, what, a decade plus, where he was the best and by far the best. So we're entering a really cool time. We're getting to experience that right now. I'm really excited about that. You have to figure that the designated tournaments have been a huge win for the PGA Tour. You had 2 great finishes. You had changes in world number one. You had 2 superstar players win in interesting fashion, if not dramatic fashion. And 2 tournaments that have just tremendous world ranking points available really shows the strength, I think, of this concept. Now, we get a little bit of a different look this week. We have the Honda Classic. It's going to be a weird week. It's the last week for Honda being the sponsor of this tournament. The longest running active sponsor on the PGA Tour is walking away after this year because, frankly, tournaments like the designated era and before that, the Genesis Invitational, the WGC in Mexico, Phoenix, I mean, go down the line of tournaments that kind of took away from what the Honda Classic was a decade ago when it was a tastemaker tournament, when every player had moved down to this part of the world in the Jupiter Palm Beach area, and you had stacked fields year after year after year, and that's gone by the wayside because of the changes to Genesis, to the WGC Mexico that came and went, to having Arnold Palmer Invitational be worth so much money, to having the players back in March. I mean, all of this stuff has kind of crushed this tournament, but still, you're going to have 20% of the world top 50 competing this week at PGA National. That's not a bad, let's say, post-meal dessert for the past couple of weeks of golf that we've been able to enjoy. All right, second story today is LIV. LIV has announced, at least for the most part, has announced the teams that they're going to have this season, and the 12 teams that they're going to have are 4 players, just like last year. And those players are going to remain the same for all 14 tournaments. Now, there are some rumors out there that there could be an introduction of guest players or rotating players. I don't think really that's the case. You can have alternates. I think they're going to have some of that. But by and large, this is the schedule. You know, this is the teams. These are the players. This is the schedule. And it is what it is from week to week to week. They're going to start at Mayakoba, a former PGA Tour venue, which I guess into itself is kind of interesting. It's a Greg Norman design course, El Chameleon, and there's not going to be a lot of people there. Just not. It's Playa del Carmen, Mexico. People are there to hang out at all-inclusive, adults-only resorts and just get plowed on light beer all day. That's where I had my honeymoon, and that's exactly what I did, and I had a great time doing it. I did not think once about playing golf, seeing a golf course, much less seeing a golf tournament. So they're going to see sparse crowds. I mean, the PGA Tour always did when they had this tournament. The players liked it because it was kind of an escape in that regard. They could go have a legitimate vacation and not really get bombarded with fans or tons of media requests or all kinds of stuff. It was just kind of a nice week away from everything. And oh, by the way, you're doing your job. And so you're going to see probably something very similar this week for LIV. Just not tons of people there. And that's, again, part of the deal. But at the same time, that flies in the face. They're starting and ending tournaments of Mayakoba and Jeddah, where you're just not going to have many people. I mean, it's just, they're not populated areas of the world. And people aren't going to fly there to go watch golf. So the beginning and end of your season are going to look pretty weird. In the meantime, the players that they have signed, they're not really needle movers. And that is no offense to number, 34 in the world, Thomas Peters, who, interestingly enough, complained at the start of the week that because he was a top 50 player, it was frustrating to not get into the Genesis Invitational. And then that kind of peels the layers back a little bit on the onion, and you understand maybe that was kind of his way of telegraphing him leaving the DP World Tour and going to LIV. pending the outcome of an arbitration hearing. We'll see what happens there over in the UK, whether LIV players can continue to maintain membership or they can be sanctioned by the DP World Tour and stripped of it, effectively. We'll see what happens there. But Thomas Peters is your headline defector. And your other signees, you've got Dean Burmester, who is world number 62. He's no slouch, but I don't think he's a name a lot of folks know. He's a great South African player. He joined the South African team, so he's now the fourth South African guy on what's called Stinger. It's a little Oosthuizen's team. So Oosthuizen, Schwartzel, Brendan Grace, and now you've got Dean Burmester. So you had a kind of rotating series of players last year. Henny Duplessis was one of those. Out. So I assume he's not going to find a home. And they basically probably lied to some of the players saying that you were going to be able to potentially move up into the LIV series by virtue of playing well in the Invitational Series last year. It doesn't seem like that's come to fruition, which strikes me as very bizarre. But we'll come back to that with the final roster reveals today. So Phil Mickelson's team has been revealed. One of the defectors went to his team, Brendan Steele, Mr. Fortinet Championship, Brendan Steele. So a multi-time PGA Tour winner, that's not nothing, but certainly on the back end, it certainly hasn't been highly relevant for quite a while. And then you've got Danny Lee, who is supposedly leaving. That hasn't been confirmed yet, and he's technically still in the field for the Honda Classic as of 3 this afternoon. So I can't guarantee that that's actually true, but those are the reports out there. And then you have Mito Pereira and Sebastian Munoz, which everybody already knew. And Mito Pereira's already been playing Asian Tour events, so that and talking about how great LIV is. So that was kind of all obvious. So we've got a couple of teams left to know. We need to know Kevin Na's team, and we need to know the team headed by Bubba Watson, which is called the Range Goats. And Goats do not stand for greatest of all time, stands for golfers on a team, if you hadn't heard that already. So, okay, we've got LIV. Now we've got to see in year two if the product can do the talking. Because if the product doesn't do the talking, that's probably about as far as this gets. There are a lot of questions about this year for LIV. And there were a lot last year. There are going to be just as many this year. And I think they're more existential than they were even last year. Money bought you a lot. Money did some incredible things in getting players to come to LIV. And I don't think that should be overlooked. But this wave of signings for year two is not better, and it's not really all that substantial, which means your product is your product from year one, more or less. So to improve in year two, you've got to do some things on the business side. You've got to be able to attract corporate sponsors. You need to be able to attract investors to your franchise concept, because without that, this doesn't work. It's just a multi-billion dollar rubbish bin of money for the Saudis every year, and I don't think they're interested in that in the long haul. You've got to have people watch on TV. You've got your CW contract. They're not even on the channel guide right now for my local CW. I'm assuming they're going to show it. It's not even on the channel guide. So kind of some amateurish operation there. Not ideal. Then you've got to convince people in this country, in the United States, to watch and attend tournaments. You're going to have some international success. I think the Adelaide tournament is going to be very well attended. And that's part homage to Greg Norman, part to Cam Smith. But there are going to be pockets where LIV is popular. But for the most part, I don't think that's going to be true. You might have fair attendance at some of the American events. There's one in D.C. Quite a liberal place. Don't know if people are going to feel really good about going to the Saudi-backed tournament there. They took away the Boston event. That was really well attended. The Chicago event did pretty well. Portland's, you know, was a very nice event last year in terms of attendance and a little bit of buzz because it's been largely ignored by the PGA Tour, but the LPGA Tour comes every year. So there's a lot of questions, and I don't think that there are many good answers so far for the ones you probably could answer. And there's going to have to be some surprises here for LIV to move forward. I feel like the deck has been cleared with the executive departures, C-suite level departures, executive kind of folks leaving between comms and business development and all that stuff out the door. And to have Majid Al-Soor leave in his capacity, officially speaking, of working with LIV, I think they've kind of cleared the decks to say, all right, Greg, this is your year. If you can do it, kudos to you. If you can't, we're all out the door and we're blaming you, bud. And that's it. So does that mean the product gets better inherently? I don't think there's a whole lot that they can do about that, to be honest with you. I think they do a good job with the television production. They put a lot of effort and time into it. The golf is the golf. So you have to see if people really invest in this team concept. And you have to see if people watch now that they're on network TV, but they're also not on YouTube now. So you can't stream it conveniently. And I just don't know a whole lot of people who are interested in watching the CW. But you'll find a home for some people. So there's a lot to figure out. And it's just going to be a year of probably more questions than answers. We've started to get some answers now that we know who the players are, the 48 players competing. Now that that's done, is that enough to convince people to watch on a week like this when the Honda Classic is the alternate programming against Liv on the PGA Tour? And I don't know the answer to that. We'll start to get the answer to that this week and see what happens, but this is what it is. Welcome to golf in 2023. And I think the designated era so far is doing a very good job of putting the PGA Tour in prime position to, I won't say win this, but look better. And we'll see what happens from there. That's going to do it for us today on Two at the First on the audio edition of the show. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Subscribe to us on a podcast if you would like to hear the show each and every day as it's available. If you do already subscribe, please give us 5 stars or leave a comment for us. That helps us reach more people. If you watch on video, obviously not this edition today being voice only, but if you do, please consider subscribing to the Golf News Net channel on YouTube or my channel, Ryan Ballingy Golf, on YouTube as well. We will talk to you tomorrow with more. Thanks for listening. I've been Ryan Ballingy. Catch you next time on Two Off the First.